He watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you won't straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka.
Nope. No Sochi like problems here from the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Today podcast.
That's not true. I was locked in the bathroom.
You were? Did you have to bobsled push your way out?
I refuse to answer.
Well, Adam Azer isn't here. He's got pink eye. But Jamie Eisenberg's here. And Michael Hercombe is here.
Yeah.
And I'm Dave Richard. I'm here. Thanks for downloading us and listening to us. And who says it's ever too early to mock draft? We've already done it twice. And in this podcast, we're going to go over our second early mock draft and give you some ideas on what to expect and how to build a team and kind of the same stuff that we've been talking about intermittently over the past couple of weeks. And you can always email the podcast, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I.com. And follow CBS Fantasy FB on Twitter. And through that, you'll get all of our other Twitter handles and other access to great fantasy sports knowledge. Well, Fantasy FB is for just football, but we do baseball, we do basketball, we do curling, we do cycling. Fantasy cycling is getting big.
We do moguls, you know, downhill moguls and skiing. So
that's crazy stuff.
Sweet, bro.
I don't do that. News and notes. Jamie, tell us some news and notes.
Tony Romo, the ESPN Dallas reports that there's no set timetable for Tony Romo's recovery from back surgery.
Does that worry you?
A little bit, given the fact that from this report that he came into training camp out of shape last season when he had the disc issue. So this is a little bit more serious, and the hope is that he gets some off-season work in, which may or may not happen. But
it's amazing, too. Like, I was just doing baseball, and Taylor Jordan, who's a pitcher for the Nationals, just revealed, oh, yeah, I broke my ankle in the offseason, but I'm good to go. No worries or anything like that. And you figure that's an injury
ankle,
that takes.
Sure.
And if it's, especially if it's, like, say, his push-off ankle or whatever like
sure.
that, and he's fine or whatever.
But yeah, but that could be, like, a six-week injury, and you know how tricky back injuries
No, absolutely. But I'm just saying everyone, you know, heals differently. You don't know, and Jamie's absolutely right. You know, Tony Romo just could linger. And
yeah, hopefully he's there in, like, two.
I will say, though, when baseball rules change that the catcher start running out and diving at the pitcher's ankle. He would change his timetable and coming back. But, you know, look, Romo is still going to be considered. He's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback every year that he's been healthy
yep.
to finish seasons, including this one, which he didn't finish, but he still was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. So I think he's going to end up being like he has been, which is going to present tremendous value on draft day, especially with the addition of Scott Linehan, how do you pronounce it?
Linehan.
At offense coordinator.
Yet another cook in that kitchen. Jamie, what else is going on?
Ahmad Bradshaw says he feels great from neck surgery. I just don't know at what point we'll ever see him back as a starting fantasy running back. He's probably going to end up going somewhere as a backup, sign a one-year deal, and end up like he was this year, which turned out to be okay for him when he did get an opportunity. Unfortunately, the next situation ruined his chances. But he'll probably sign somewhere that, you know, with a team that needs a veteran, maybe somebody like Denver. You know, if they get rid of Noshon
sure.
Moreno.
I think he could be a good third down back.
I think he could,
yeah,
too.
His pass production's always been yeah. great.
Herc, would you draft him, late-round pick?
No, I mean, I'm a Giants fan. I'm too jilted from those days.
But
so.
Even, let's say he goes back to the Giants. Maybe they're looking at a possible third down back.
Hey, you know, if I need a fourth running back and the pool is thin, knowing that he may get some touches, sure, but I don't know if I take him as my third running back even. So.
I know how many free agent running backs there are out there, and I know that they're not going to get paid. So for him to play on, like, the veteran minimum or a little bit more than that, with incentives, I don't know how quickly a team is going to reach out for a guy who might give you eight games. He might be a guy, if your running back goes down in training camp, you give him a call. I could see that playing
out
for him. So I'm with you, Herc. I wouldn't draft him either. Jamie, I'll take the Dolphins news. Dolphins don't believe Lamar Miller is physical enough. And so there's talk about whether or not he's even worth considering as a number two fantasy running back. Herc, I'll pose this question to you. You're in charge of the Miami Dolphins. Do you add another running back this offseason? And if so, is it going to be through the draft or through free agency? And to what level in free agency?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, depending on how much they want to allot towards, you know, spending on free agency running back. But all last season they complained about, we need to get our running game better, we need to get our running game better, and they couldn't. I mean, they did have some fluctuation on the offensive line. That didn't help. Maybe if they get stronger on the offensive line, you know, these guys can succeed. But I think adding a veteran running back is probably better than going through the draft and developing a guy, because these guys are already young. Unless you find a stud running back you want in the draft. But I would go free agent and build the offensive line.
What would you do there?
Well, it depends on what else they do. Yeah, I mean, Herc's right. They have to definitely fix their offensive line first, and then we'll see what happens after that. But I still think Lamar Miller has some upside if there's the right guys opening holes for him in place. But I don't think he's ever going to live up to the expectations that he set for himself prior to last season, which he said he was a 1,500-yard rusher and, you know, average over 5 yards a carry. He just needs to learn to put his head down. You know, maybe he gets it. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the case with Reggie Bush early in his career, too. You know, he wanted to get outside and try and turn a corner. That doesn't happen like it does in college. And so we'll see if he can develop that type of running style. If he can, I think there's potential. If he has the right system in place, there's potential. Right guys in front of him, potential.
But if there's opportunities for him, too, because if they go and they follow what Herc wants to do, then Lamar Miller might not see much of the field. By the way, something to watch this offseason, their whole offensive line needs to be reworked.
Yeah, their center. Pouncey's pretty good.
He's in a contract year. I agree with you, obviously, but he might hold out. They're a mess right now. They need both tackle positions and left guard from all the stuff that they went through. Norv Turner wants Adrian Peterson to get the ball out in space. Could mean more catches for him. I don't have a problem with that. As someone who might draft Adrian Peterson.
Yep. His second best year of his career was 2009, I believe, and that was with Favre, and that was a career high in catches for him. So you go back to those days, if he can get back to, you know, touching the ball more in different ways, that's only going to make him more attractive. Now, obviously, there are some concerns about durability, and he's hitting some marks that we don't really like.
No.
Also quarterback issues, because he's not going to have a guy of Brett Favre's caliber.
That's right. Matt Castle opted out of his contract.
Right. The only quarterback they have under contract right now is Christian Ponder, which is obviously scary. And the other part of this story that came out of this was his fourth quarter touches and how effective he was. You go back 2 years ago, and he was one of the best, if not the best, if I remember the stat correctly, as a fourth quarter rusher. Mm-hmm. That was obviously in a situation where they were a playoff team. They were ahead in more than half of their games. I think they finished 9-7 that year, 10-6. And when you're getting fourth quarter production from these type of running backs, which is why we like guys that are on winning teams, especially teams that can have successful running games and punish you at the end of games, that's what you like to see from Adrian Peterson. But I don't know if they're going to get back to that level again, because their defense still needs some work. And obviously their quarterback situation is terrible.
But he's still a number one fantasy
rookie. Oh, he's a top five overall pick.
Yeah,
there's still some red flags again, and we'll see what they do, because Gerhardt's a free agent. Who they bring back, whether it's they go with Asiata, if he's going to be the number two guy there. It's interesting in that same story. Asiata, in whatever the time frame that they gave, 5 minutes or less in the fourth quarter or whatever, in the limited amount of time that Asiata played, he had more fourth quarter production in that time frame than Peterson did for the season.
I'm not sure I'm following you there.
I know I'm not making sense, but there's whatever stat that
he was a better closer, maybe, or maybe he just had more opportunities.
In the one situation where he got a chance to close, he was better at it than Peterson was for the season.
Okay.
Could be yards per carry.
Could part of that just be that Minnesota was behind in a bunch of games as well?
Yeah, I mean, it goes to how their production was and their success rate was.
Eric Decker, is he worth $9 million a year? And would the Jets pay him? And if so, Herc, would you like him with the Jets?
Yeah, we talked about this last week on the podcast. And I don't have a problem with him going to the Jets. He's not going to put up the numbers, you know, he did, because we still have questions about Geno Smith. The one place I'd love to see him go, and, you know, we were sort of alluding to this last week with the Carolina running back situation. If they drop one of those running backs and free up some cap space, I mean, I'd love to see him in that situation.
Sure.
Across from Steve Smith and, you know, Cam Newton,
sure,
another weapon. Again, he's produced ever since he's come out of college. Even when he was in college, he was producing. So put him with Cam Newton and a guy like that, I think his career would take off and he'd be fine.
Yeah.
With the Jets, yeah. I mean, if he goes to the Jets, probably drops in the number three wide receiver range, right?
At best, he's a huge bust if he goes to the Jets.
I'm nervous about him no matter what, because he just had his best year, an amazing year. Finished top 10 among wide receivers, but only six games with 10 or more fantasy points. So there were a couple outliers there. Sure. Obviously, the four touchdown game that he had.
Yeah, but I mean, so many
the game after that
to feed in that offense in Denver, and he goes to an offense where he's maybe
so
the
maybe he would
best,
get a little more
option.
Consistent at around 10, 11, 12 points per week.
That's what I'm
rather
thinking.
Than only getting fed so often.
Yeah,
in Denver. I don't know if he's worth $9
But he's got to go to a situation where there's a good quarterback. I mean, you could be the number one guy in New York and there's no quarterback, then, you know.
For his fantasy value, obviously. Yeah, but I think he's going to go where he can get – I think the Jets are going to go hard after two guys. I think Decker's one, and I think Macklin is the other. And I think they're going to end up getting one of them. They're going to overpay probably for one of them. And Decker's probably the guy they're going to end up with because for Decker, you look at it, I mean, he's – put himself in a position where he's trying to make his profile and his brand bigger. I mean, he did the reality show with his wife. The Jets going to that market would be smart for him to continue that. He's had success from a team standpoint, not the ultimate success, but he's had success. And now he's looking to parlay that into a big payday. And you could, it's hard to fault him for that. And he probably looks at the Jets, and I'm sure most guys do, and say, okay, strong GM in place now. They obviously are backing their coach, and they have a young quarterback that they're going to try and develop and maybe bring in somebody else. And so I think for his standpoint, good fantasy standpoint, I wouldn't touch him. He'd be a huge bust for me.
Yeah.
You think the Jets would consider Golden Tate? Because what about if you have Holmes and he turns to
– Holmes is not going to be there.
You don't think so?
All right. His salary is too high. And he's just not worth the price.
Yeah. Last year, it was guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And so they had to keep him there because otherwise they're just burning money.
So they could be where it could be Jeremy Curley and Eric Decker, or the two top
receivers. Could be. I mean, there was talk that they were looking at Jeremy Macklin. They were looking at Emmanuel Sanders.
I mean, I would like
those
to see,
guys are going to get looks all
if
over
they
the
had,
agent
if,
market.
Too. I mean, if they could, do like a Decker Tate thing, Golden Tate, and I think that'd be a good
that would be
combo,
an improvement.
You know, exactly.
With Curley too.
I don't know
sure.
if they could afford two guys that are going to command a price tag.
You think Golden Tate's going to demand a lot?
Yeah,
I think he'll end up getting it more than he deserves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just think, you know, Super Bowl wide receiver, has speed. Yeah. But he's been just as inconsistent as Eric Decker.
Absolutely.
If, no, actually worse than that.
Well, I just don't think, because that offense up there in Seattle, I mean, it's just, it's not a fun offense to watch, really. It's just, you know, they run the football and they do the short little passes and they hope to break off like Doug Baldwin did in the Super Bowl. Was it Jermaine Curse in the Super Bowl? I'm sorry, he broke those six tackles. Sorry. Yep.
The touchdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Foreshadowing the mock draft, one of the guys I was going to ask Jamie about was Terrence Williams, who he drafted, and I liked the pick.
I'm a big fan.
I am too. If the Cowboys cut Miles Austin as expected and he's due like $5 million or something like that, forget it. He's not getting that money. So what are you looking at with Terrence Williams next year as potentially the number two receiver in Dallas?
Yeah, I think he's a high-end number three guy. You know, there's a few receivers that I like. Williams is one. Reuben Randall's another. You know, there's probably a handful of guys we could discuss that are in that same type of scenario. But I think Terrence Williams certainly gets a bump. We saw last year when – you know, Miles Austin first went down, that Terrence Williams took off and played really well. It wasn't sustained. It wasn't consistent. But that's expected for a young rookie receiver. So I think he's going to only continue to improve. Obviously, going back to what we first started talking about, if Romo's back is fine, that will help Terrence Williams. But you have, you know, an offense that is really poised to have a lot of success year over year when you have the weapons that they have. And Williams is a guy that they added last year to continue to, you know, increase those weapons and make that offense better. And I think he's one of those receivers that if you miss on a clear-cut number two guy and you just start stockpiling good number threes,
he's the guy to get in your corner.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The tight end position is real thin this year in fantasy. Now, you know Jimmy Graham is going to be at the top, and Vernon Davis, Julius Thomas, Rob Gronkowski, you know those stud names. But after those first four, there's a couple of guys that are interesting. But there's not a whole lot of difference between the guys after that. So we could use some depth at the tight end position. Two stories that came out last week. Jermichael Finley could make a full recovery from the neck injury and surgery that he had. And potentially, he's a free agent. He's going to sign somewhere, probably going to be a one-year deal. Could he regain his form as a number one tight end? And Tony Gonzalez isn't closing the door on his career. Twice over the past, I want to say 10 days, but it might have been seven. It doesn't really matter. He's hinted at coming back to a contender toward the middle of the season. So he's kind of went from saying, no, I'm definitely done to, well, if the Falcons are 10-0 and they need me to, well, if there's a contender out there. Like, the guy is starting to talk like he could talk himself back into one more year.
Yeah.
Herc, we could use these tight ends in fantasy, couldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the one thing about Jermichael Finley, and I think he's a tough guy, and I think he could do it, but I just love to see him back with the Packers. I mean, he knows that offense, and Aaron Rodgers trusts him. But if he goes somewhere else, even if he goes back to the Packers, you really can't use more than a late-round pick on him.
I think you're right.
And you really have to have maybe another guy like Tyler Eifert. Maybe you'd like use two of your last three picks on Eifert and Finley or something like that, and you hopefully one of those guys pans out. As far as Tony Gonzalez, you know, even if he plays half a season, I just don't think you can use a pick on him. I think I'd rather go with maybe like Dennis Pitta in the sixth round. I would try and target him if he's still there.
Mm-hmm. What if you missed on Pitta and there's still rumblings about Gonzalez playing by the time late August comes around? Could you conceivably draft Gonzalez with your, let's just say, your third to last pick?
Yeah.
And then by week one, if he's not with the team, it's clear he's not going to play. You either cut him or you cut somebody else and you pick up a tight end to go
so
with.
He's going to be your starting tight end?
So no, you'd pick up somebody off the waiver. You'd go and you'd find, insert tight end, random Rob tight end here. Rob Hausler.
Right. Yeah,
Mercedes Lewis is your tight end.
I think as we're realizing, you can't do that with tight end. I mean, you really need that. It's a position that you would like to not punt on every week, because in that situation, Rob Hauser, you never know what you're going to get with him. It's going to rack your brain. You're probably going to be picking guys up off waiver wire. I don't think you want to be in that situation with tight end anymore. I think you really got to target these six guys, put them high on your draft board.
I think that would be ideal, but there's going to be people in every league who have to do that.
I mean,
they're not going to feel comfortable with who they go with from week to week because the position's just so unstable and there's just not enough studs at the top.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Finley does make a full recovery and ends up in the right situation, Gonzalez is a different scenario because he's clearly not going to start September. You know, he's going to, as we saw last year, he took off training camp. This year he's going to take off, let's just say, best case scenario, the first month of the season. If Finley's in the right situation, he's shown that he could be a top 10 tight end. You know, so I think he's somebody more along the lines of pairing him with somebody else, like you first said. You know, you could take Finley as opposed to taking your fifth receiver who you're never going to play, or second quarterback who you can always cut and pick up somebody else, or, you know, like we'll get to. Like, I know you just did it because of you were looking at talent. You drafted two defenses. Yeah. I drafted two quarterbacks. You know, Dave took 45 running backs. You could take, you could take a second tight end, which the position being what it is, if you have two elite-level guys, and I'm not saying Finley's in the Graham Gronk category, but if you have two elite-level guys, you're going to be in a position of strength that most teams would envy because of how thin that position is, as Dave illustrated.
Let's talk about our mock draft.
Sure.
Second one we've done. There are no rookies in this draft, so really this thing will be meaningless come May.
And a lot of the free agents that we expect to leave are still with their respective teams. We draft them. Some with the idea that they're leaving, some with the idea that they're respective teams.
Correct. So let's just take a look at round one. I'm going to run down the names. A lot of running backs in round one, but a couple of quarterbacks along with a guy named Calvin and a guy named Jimmy and a guy named Josh. Jamie had the first pick, took Jamal Charles. I had the second pick. I took LeSean McCoy. That's what makes us awesome. Matt Forte went third. Adrian Peterson fourth. Calvin Johnson fifth. That was a Nando pick. Jimmy Graham sixth. Peyton Manning seventh. Eddie Lacy eighth. Drew Brees by Herc at 9, Marshawn Lynch 10th. And we've talked a lot, you can listen to our last podcast, about why we're shy on Marshawn Lynch.
Yep.
Herc, I want to ask you about taking Drew Brees with your first-round pick. So why'd you take Drew Brees with your first-round pick?
I wish we had a recorder in the office yesterday, because Jamie and I had a five-minute conversation again about this.
Hash it out. Let's hear it. Let's go.
No, I wasn't. I was just, just going over the
It was
win.
Point it's, counterpoint.
It's going to be
so,
the big
you – know,
it, it's, yeah. it's unquestionably sure. going to be the big debate of the preseason. If you don't get one of those amazing running backs early on and you can't get your hands on Jimmy Graham or Calvin Johnson, do you take the quarterback? And some people will take the quarterback even if they can get one of those other guys. There are people who are saying, forget it, I'm taking Peyton Manning number one overall.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't do that.
No, absolutely.
But I don't have a problem with him being – I don't have a problem with a quarterback being your first-round pick.
Yeah, well, we were talking about this, and we were both in agreement. The quarterbacks can't be in the top five picks. There's just so much other talent there that you can take. It's got to be starting in the end of the first round. And again, Drew Brees can do on a consistent basis every week, can make up for some of the faults that if you have at running back, that if you have a weak tight end, the guy's going to 25 to 30 points, you can kind of make up for those weak positions.
And that gives him an edge over other quarterbacks. Because, I mean, there are quarterbacks that win at insane values in this draft, and we'll get into that. And when you draft a quarterback early and you see that happen later on, you kind of wince a little bit. Like, oh, my God, Matt Stafford in round six, really? You know, you almost don't expect that. But at the same time, the fantasy point totals between Stafford, who's a great quarterback and is going to get you 20 a week, and Brees, who's an elite quarterback, and you've got the expectation of 25 to 30 a week or maybe even more than that, I think that's what makes Drew Brees special. And it's kind of like what you would say about Jimmy Graham and what makes Jimmy Graham special. well, he's so much better than every other tight end. The difference between him and, you know, the fifth or sixth best tight end, it's huge.
Yes.
It's actually, if you go just first to second best, like Jamaal Charles, LeSean McCoy, bigger difference per game last year than between Jimmy Graham and Vernon Davis.
Wow.
Yeah. And Peyton to Drew Brees, bigger difference than Jimmy Graham to Vernon Davis, which is to say that tight end, you know, if we're comparing Jimmy Graham to the Jared Cooks and, you know, that the crappy tight ends of the world, of course he's going to be better, just like Drew Brees would be better than Joe Flacco.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So the one question I had for you on this, were you pressured into taking Drew Brees because Peyton was taken with a first-round pick? You were not the first one to take a quarterback in round one. You picked ninth overall. 12 people were drafting. So there was a chance if you didn't take Drew Brees in round one that neither he nor Aaron Rodgers would make it back to you in round two.
And correct. And then also I did take a look at the running backs, and I said and looked at who took running backs in the first round, and I said, you know what? I'm going to be in that Reggie Bush, Gio Bernard area. And actually I was hoping people would overlook this guy, and I got him in the second round, Doug Martin.
Yep.
And I was very happy with the way that panned out. And I, you know, like Jamie said, he would have taken Martin in the first round, and hopefully Brees got back, you know, to in the second round.
Right.
I just didn't want to risk it. That's why I took Brees, and I was happy that I got Martin in the second round.
I should make mention that Josh Gordon went 11th overall to Nathan Zagura, and then Le'Veon Bell, 12th overall to Larry Hartstein. I like Le'Veon Bell a lot, but I think a guy that we're going to get a lot of questions on is Josh Gordon, and whether or not he's worth a first-round pick. Did better than Calvin Johnson this past year. Jamie, are you buying into Josh Gordon as somebody who can be worthy of a late first-round pick?
Yeah, I like him better at 12 than I do at 11, but that's splitting hairs, you know, because it depends.
Is that basically saying you like him better at 13 than 11?
Because that's why. Yeah,
take him with your first pick in round two.
I think it just depends on, you know, you have your choice of what you're going to do coming back to you. But, you know, it's similar to what Herc did. You know, if you're sitting there at 11 and you know that you want Josh Gordon, assuming Calvin Johnson's off the board and Jimmy Graham's off the board, you know, talking about the receiving options. So you know who you're going to take at 15. You know, that's kind of, or excuse me, at 14, that kind of determines, you know, what you're going to do at 11. You know, so if you say, okay, I know that the guy at 12 is going to go running back receiver or quarterback receiver, however that shakes out, and he's going to take Josh Gordon, then I better make sure I get him at 11. So he's going to go in that range. But, you know, I think he definitely has the potential to do it because he's going now from, a lot of people look at it and say, okay, he's got no quarterback, which is true, and changing system, new head coach, new coordinator. Well, the new head coach, I think, will allow Kyle Shanahan to call plays with free rein.
That's definitely going to happen.
And that coordinator has a great history with his number one wide receiver in Houston when he was the coordinator there, yep, and Andre Johnson, and a very good success rate with Pierre Garçon, who was number one receiver in Washington.
Just look at the targets.
And yeah, so I think Josh Gordon should continue to see a heavy workload. He's entering his third year, so that's also a plus. And if it's Brian Hoyer, at least to open the season with a transition to a rookie, if that in fact does happen, then he should still have the quarterback play that helped him have a lot of his success last year. So there's a lot to like about Josh Gordon. There's obviously some red flags. You'd prefer Calvin Johnson because you know his quarterback's the same. You know his, you know, ability has been the same year over year. You can argue Demaryius Thomas versus Josh Gordon, especially if Eric Decker's gone. A.J. Green, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, all those guys are somewhat similar. But Josh Gordon showed last year that he could put up huge numbers on a team that's probably going to be throwing a lot because they're going to be trailing.
Let's look at round two, kicked off with DeMarco Murray. He went 13th overall. So the guy that picked 12th overall, Larry Hartstein, started his draft with Le'Veon Bell and DeMarco Murray. That's a potential way to begin your draft if you've got a late first round, early second round pick. Nathan in round two then went with Monte Ball. So I think he made that pick assuming that no Sean Moreno would change teams this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, there's a report from Ian Rapoport that, you know, the Broncos aren't going to bring back Monte Ball. Or bring back
No Sean. Right. And that should open the door for Monte to have this great big role. What do you guys think? Herc, I'll start with you. What do you think about Monte in round two?
Now, we talked about this last week. We put him in the 20 to 24 range. You know, they could bring in a Matt Bradshaw, like you guys were talking about earlier, a veteran guy.
They could bring in anybody.
Exactly. You know, and they probably will. I don't question Nathan. He always usually drafts well, so I like to, you know, would love to hear what he had to say about Monte Ball so high. But, I mean, he went before Doug Martin, Reggie Bush, Gio Bernard, Arian Foster, Zach Stacy, Alfred Morris. I mean, I don't know if I'd make that call there.
Right. So. Now, the counterpoint to that would be is that No'Shawn was a top five running back this year, and he was awesome. And, you know, if Monte Ball is going to get all those touches, or at least Norshawn's touches, then he has the potential to be a top 10 guy. You know, well, let's just assume there's some natural regression there. So there's a somewhat of a justification to taking Monte Ball there if you're buying him, because clearly he wasn't going to get him in the end of the third round. So yeah. if you buy into the Denver running back or the Peyton running back, however you want to phrase it.
Yeah, I would call it the Peyton running back. So those guys typically do well, right, running with
then
Peyton Manning.
That's the spot you have to get him because of where he picked.
Right.
Is it too risky, though, with an early second-round pick to make that?
Well, it comes
right
that,
now it is it, for
yeah,
sure.
Well,
absolutely.
I was going to say the opposite. I don't think it's risky now because we're just, you know, throwing, you know, stickers at the wall and just seeing what
stickers at the wall. Is that what the saying is?
Yes.
Okay.
We're throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And you know, if you know, a month from now the Broncos cut Monte Ball or cut, I keep saying they cut Knowshon Moreno, and they go,
Jamie really wants, you know, the Broncos to keep Knowshon.
John Elway comes out and says, we're going with Monte Ball as our number one guy. Yeah. We believe in CJ Anderson, and then we're going to give the opportunity back to Ronnie Hillman to earn some reps and bring in, you know, a late round pick.
Yeah,
in our draft, that's how we're going to approach things. Not that he would be that forthcoming, but something along those lines is the game plan. Then, yeah, Monte Ball is probably worth a top 15 overall pick.
Okay.
Ball was followed in the draft by Aaron Rodgers, so Rodgers went 15th overall, early second-round pick. Herc took Doug Martin in round two. He was followed by Reggie Bush, Giovanni Bernard, Demaryius Thomas, Arian Foster, A.J. Green, Zach Stacy. I took Alfred Morris at the end of round two. And Jamie went back-to-back. Remember, Jamie had the first overall pick, had Jamaal Charles, went with Brandon Marshall and Julio Jones, back-to-back picks, round two and round three. Jamie, you want to give us a little bit on why you decided to do that?
Yeah, and then from there I'll just go into my team so we can maybe speed this along, because people could just follow the draft on the site. So, yeah, I took the two receivers. That was kind of my game plan going in. I knew that I wanted to get two of my top five guys. I have Marshall four, Julio five. And so to pair them with Jamaal Charles, you know, very happy with that. Then it was kind of you actually took the guy that I was hoping for in round four with Andre.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that on the in the story. That was one guy that I was targeting was Ellington. I was actually planning to go Ellington and either Gore or Vereen. So I ended up with my second and third choices. Obviously not thrilled with Frank Gore. But I do expect for a 6 to 8 game stretch, he'll be a top 10 to top 12 running back like he has been.
And then Vereen could fill in the rest, or somebody else that you draft
the rest. I like my receiving core, so I would be okay with using a third receiver as a flex option, because we do start a flex in this league. So Gore, Vereen, those are three guys that are in my top 20, 21 range. I went quarterback in round six. That was where Rodgers went in round two. The next quarterback after that didn't go until round six, which I think is how a lot of drafts will go. We kind of illustrated that the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
That was Nick Foles, and that started a
quarterback run.
Yeah. It went Foles to Joe Polito. Then you took Stafford. I took Colin Kaepernick. So Kaepernick's my starting quarterback. And then I just started just taking what I thought was the best value on the board at the time. So Reggie Wayne, another guy that could be flex for me. Terrence Williams, we talked about his upside. Latavius Murray, you know, there's speculation he could be the starting running back for the Raiders right now. He would be if the season opened today. Rashad Jennings and Darren McFadden, both free agents. So Murray's a guy that has, you know, upside. Don't really love him as my fourth running back. I'd rather him be my fifth guy. But again, that being what it is, Zach Ertz was somebody. There are three tight ends if I miss on the elite guys I'm going to target. Ertz is one of them.
Who are the others?
It's Ertz, Eifert, and Jordan Reed. Reed would be one, Ertz two, Eifert three. That's assuming that
Gresham is gone.
Right.
Yeah.
And Selleck, too. Another situation there to monitor. Niall Davis, just handcuffed to Jamaal Charles. Jay Cutler, again, was just value on the board. He's a top 12 quarterback for me. So even though I have Kaepernick, I'll take my chances with Cutler. And then sleeper for me is Kenny Stills. You know, I think with the receiving core in New Orleans, he's going to be better. Bills defense and Steven Gostkowski.
Herc, any questions about what he did? Just running down Jamie's team one last time before Herc, you can chime in.
Listen, I don't question Jamie.
Charles was his top pick. He followed that up with two stud receivers in Brandon Marshall and Julio Jones. Followed that up with two running backs, Frank Gore and Shane Vereen. Great value at quarterback at the end of round six with Colin Kaepernick. Reggie Wayne was a guy I was looking at. This is the problem with me drafting so close to you, is that I take your guys, you take my guys.
Right.
And Wayne was somebody I was looking at. Terrence Williams was a good pick. That was followed by Latavius Murray, Zach Ertz to be your tight end to start the season, Niall Davis, Jay Cutler, Kenny Stills, if you're looking for a sleeper receiver, and then Bills defense and a kicker to round out the draft. Herc, where's the weakness in Jamie's team?
I just want to say I love four of his first five picks. I mean, Charles, Marshall, Julio, and Vereen are all solid. I understand why he had to take Gore. You know, I think he's going to decline next year.
Sure. I think everybody's going to feel that way about Frank Gore, too.
But, you know, we've said that for the last 3 years. And
but
they've
the
done such a good
kind
job.
Kind of been on, kind of.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily the decline that you expect because he hasn't missed games. He's had, you know, an ankle problem here. He's had, you know, a groin problem there. It hasn't been a Steven Jackson situation yet, you know, where he has something that keeps him out for extended period of time. I will say that I did go with the idea when I took Gore, okay, I have to get Marcus Lattimore was the next guy for me to target.
And when were you thinking about going?
It was round eight, and it was right where I took Terrence Williams. And
he went right ahead of you.
Yeah,
right.
Marcus Lattimore went to Joe Polito. If this was a draft that we were playing out, I probably would have, instead of taking maybe Cutler or Stills, taking Kendall Hunter because he went in that range,
right,
just to at least get the second running back for San Francisco right now. Because we don't know what's going to happen in August with Lattimore and what his role will be. But, yeah, Gore is the pick that kind of was, at that point for me, was I don't love it, but I needed to get somebody who I know is going to get carries. And like I said, the 49ers, I love their offensive line. I love their system. And I love the fact that they do a good job of keeping Gore's carries right around that 320 range.
Yep.
You know, they've taken him away as a receiver, so he's not getting that type of work. And even with the postseason runs, he's still come back and played at a very high level. So I know there'll be some fall off for sure, but that's why, you know, he's a 2-3 as opposed to a 1-2.
Gore was one of the more consistent running backs last year. He had 10 or more fantasy points in 62.5% of his games. That meant that he had him in 10 of his games. But of all the running backs who had 10 or more fantasy points in 10 or more games, he averaged the fewest fantasy points per week overall at 10.4. Six of his 10 games were between 10 and 14 points. Only one game with over 20 fantasy points.
And he tailed off late in the season, right?
He did tail off late in the season. His big game was in the middle of the year. Still finished as the 13th best quarterback in fantasy football. Running back, rather. Sorry.
Yeah. But now, I will say this.
I just think he's – we always talk about guys that you settle for in the draft.
Yeah.
I think Frank Gore is just going to be one of those guys this year.
Yeah, sure. Again, it wasn't the ideal situation for me. And when you go – pick first, you're taking Charles or McCoy or whoever you like. You come back in 2-3. It's either you take one of those, take one of the stud receivers, and then you have to make a decision. Do you take, here's the running backs who are available to me in this draft: Ryan Matthews, Ray Rice, CJ Spiller, Chris Johnson, Ben Tate.
Yeah.
I'm just going in the order they were drafted.
Right.
Maurice Jones-Drew, Andre Ellington. Well, I like Andre Ellington, but I wasn't going to take him at the beginning of round three. I don't really love all those other guys. And so, like I said, I was kind of hoping that Ellington would fall one more spot. He didn't. I don't like Steven Jackson, so I would take Gore over Jackson. And I'm not ready to take Donald Brown, Noshon, especially given his situation, Trent Richardson, Lamar Miller. Yep. These are all the running backs I went after. So I like Frank Gore better than all those guys.
And honestly, I thought I wanted Shane Vereen in the fifth round. I was like, oh, Vereen's going to get it. And I looked at who was. I was like, oh, Jamie's picking before me. I knew he would be gone.
Yeah.
I think that's great value, Shane Vereen.
I think it really speaks to how quickly things go ugly at running back.
Yes.
And we really need a lot of rookies to get drafted into good situations.
Or see where these free agents land.
Yeah. That's the landscape can definitely
change. I think Rashad Jennings gets bumped up if he signs as Oakland. Because what he did when he was
it depends on what the Raiders end up doing at the position and how Latavius Murray looks in camp. I know Rashad Jennings was good last year.
Right.
I still have trust issues with him.
But even if you look at his Jaguars before that one bad season, he always averaged really good yards per carry. Yeah. This guy can like he can really thrive in the NFL.
But he's had a bunch of injuries since then. I don't know. I'm just a little
nervous. I will
about
say
it.
This. Hindsight, if I was going to do something different, you know, just to avoid Frank Gore, you know, again, I'm okay with it, but
What could you have done?
To take Marshall at the end of round two, Ryan Matthews at the beginning of round three of the group that was left to me, and then I come back and I take Shane Vereen at the end of round four, and just based on the receivers, I could have had either Keenan Allen or Andre Johnson. And so, you know, if you just want to mix and match the two running backs, two receivers that I started my team, or three running backs, two receivers that I started my team with, you may say, okay, a combination of Charles Matthews, Vereen, Brandon Marshall, Keenan Allen is better than the group that I have. You know, it's just swapping out swapping out Gore for Matthews and then Julio Jones for Keenan Allen.
Coming soon to a website near you, I wrote about I did the tiers for wide receivers. And one of the things that I'm really stressing this year, and I think everybody should follow this strategy, and it's something that you could do religiously in your draft the amount of stud receivers you need to fill your starting receiver spots. Okay, so to explain, in this draft we did, we're starting a minimum of two receivers. Jamie, you did a great job getting Brandon Marshall and Julio Jones. You almost don't need to draft backups for him because really, are you ever going to sit Brandon Marshall or Julio Jones? They would have to get hurt or, like, one of their hands, like, is in a cast.
Yeah, but I don't know if I agree with that because I think we saw receivers play at a much higher level than running backs, and so you'd want to have one of those guys potentially for flex.
I would disagree. Overall,
I would disagree. There was better receiving production than there was running back production.
Based on what?
Fantasy points.
See, now I don't know how you quantify that because running backs only get there was a lot more inconsistency with running backs than there were receivers, but there were plenty of inconsistent receivers too.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily look at it as inconsistent receivers because if I'm looking, your flex spot is typically somebody you're going to draft late or later than your starting group.
And let me also just say that if it's a PPR league, then I'm with you on this point.
That goes without saying. But I think when you're looking at a standard league, if you can still get a third stud receiver by comparison, because the pool is deeper.
Then when the running backs draw out, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'll go back to the same thing. Let's just say Frank Gore is Frank Gore of 5 years ago, and he's, you know, plays at that level, or this past year even. He was the 13th best running back, you said, by fantasy points. So if I have the number one guy and the number 13 guy, and then I have – we could all agree that Marshall and Julio Jones have the chance to be top five fantasy receivers again. Instead of taking Shane Vereen, if I would have taken Keenan Allen, who was a top 15 fantasy receiver and was pretty consistent,
he would have been your flex.
He would have been
my
flex.
And you would have found another running back later on.
To be a backup.
But you probably don't feel as comfortable with that with Gore. Because I think you almost need to have a good backup.
I would.
I'm not talking about my backups to my running backs. I'm talking about who do I feel
I'm talking about running back depth.
Understandably so, but again, my starting lineup, however, which also may be the case now with Reggie Wayne in the mix with Gore and Vereen, whoever that second running back may be, if Reggie Wayne plays to his level, now he's a bad example because he's got a lot of red flags as well, but
I believe he's still a top 24 receiver for all three of us.
Not for me. He's 25.
Okay.
But still, somebody
top
with that caliber, I'm okay with that as my flex, and I think a lot of people were very successful using receivers at flex.
Absolutely. If you think about that strategy, I'm absolutely on board with that. Three stud receivers and one running back, and then you worry about that second running back.
But starting lineup.
Would you rather do that and worry about who your second running back is, or would you rather worry about who your flex is going to be, and you can pull from running backs and receivers
if
need be?
So Jamal Charles.
Tight end. You could always get another tight end to be in your flex.
That's true, too. If I go Jamal Charles, three stud receivers, and you tell me Shane Vereen's going to be my second running back in the fifth round, and then I worry about quarterback, I'll take that draft every day.
All right, I got to take a call, so I'll let you guys discuss your team, and I'll come back.
But what you were talking about where I think Jamie's weakness is, and I'm going to say this about every team's weakness, my draft advice for everyone, love your first 6 to 7 picks, because the second half of the draft, you're just going to be like, what's going on?
It's craptacular. before we get to your team, and I wish Jamie was here to talk about this, I'm going to run down round three because obviously it started with Jamie's pick of Julio Jones. But there's three running backs that were taken consecutively toward the end of the round. I'll get to that right now. Just kind of want to talk about how you'd rank them. All right, round three, here's how it went down. Julio Jones to Jamie. I took Dez Bryant. He was my first receiver. Randall Cobb went after him. Julius Thomas went in round three with the fourth overall pick in that round. Ryan Matthews followed him. Ray Rice followed him. And then the last six picks of round three, Rob Gronkowski, which, I mean, we can debate whether or not that was early or not. Alshon Jeffrey. Here's where I want to get into it. C.J. Spiller by Herc.
Yep.
Chris Johnson followed him. Ben Tate followed him. And then Jordy Nelson, the last pick of round three. So if we're running down the round one last time, Julio, Dez, Randall Cobb, Julius Thomas, Ryan Matthews, Ray Rice, Gronk, Alshon, Spiller, Chris Johnson, Ben Tate, and Jordy Nelson. Now, the first thing I'll say just overall about the round, look at the difference between the receivers getting taken here and the running backs getting taken here. Receivers getting taken here, no question about it. stud receivers. We feel good about them. They're awesome. Running backs getting taken in the third round. Ryan Matthews, you want to buy in.
Exactly.
He's entering a contract year. We'll see what the Chargers backfield looks like. I think I'm okay with Ryan Matthews. Ray Rice, everybody's going to be scared.
Exactly.
CJ Spiller, everybody's going to be scared, except for you, apparently, because you drafted him, and get ready to talk about you drafted him. Chris Johnson, who knows what team he's even going to be on and whether or not he's going to, you know, just bump and fall down or actually try and gain 4 yards of carry. Ben Tate, who knows what team he's going to be on. So a lot of questions at running back, not so much at wide receiver. So round three might want to be – you might want to earmark round three as the round to start going to plan on taking a wide receiver. This is basically the gist.
Yeah.
And now, Michael Orgum, you took a running back, you took Chris Johnson, CJ Spiller. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a situation where my first pick was Drew Brees. My second pick was Doug Martin. At this time, you saw this run on running backs, and you're like, oh, am I going to get stuck without a good second running back? In our first mock draft, Larry Hartstein took CJ Spiller in the first round, which was all kind of shocking to us. I think this is good value for him, for a guy that could bounce back. He got hurt early in the season and kind of bothered him. He wasn't 100%. Even in his big game where he broke off that long touchdown run, he wasn't 100%, but he's, you know, you see the explosiveness. If he gets that explosiveness back, he's a guy that Jamie touted as a top five running back this 2, year.
2,000 total yard potential.
Exactly.
That's what we were talking about with Spiller.
Hey, Fred Jackson's great, and you need two running backs. Every team wants two running backs, but what happens if they start using C.J. Spiller in space as a way to even get E.J. Manuel more into the mix of, let's just start dumping passes off to C.J., get him outside the box, let him use his speed to blow by the secondary. You know what? As the draft unfolded, I did get a little bit nervous because I took Antonio Brown in round four, and then I didn't take another receiver until Kendall Wright. I think wide receiver is a deep position. It's a fantastic position where I think you can wait on guys. But again, I think I waited too long. I think here I could have went with Pierre Garçon over Spiller. Mm-hmm. I ended up with Knowshon a few rounds later. Could end up with DeSean Jackson. I'm happy with Antonio Brown. This could have went different for me.
All right, let's run down the team now. You started your draft with Drew Brees. I don't think you took another quarterback the rest of the way. Smart move there. Doug Martin in round two, Spiller in round three, Antonio Brown, your first receiver in round four, Knowshon after that, and then Dennis Pitta before you even took a second receiver.
Yeah.
So Kendall Wright went next for you. What round would that be? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 for Kendall Wright. Steven Johnson in round eight, the Seahawks D in round nine. Thought that was interesting. They were far and away the best DST
Absolutely,
last year.
Again.
And they went wire to wire. You drafted them. They went on average as the top DST, and they finished as the top DST. Jeremy Maclin, nice pick for you in round 10. Jonathan Stewart, Delanie Walker, the Steelers D, and Nick Novak.
Again, like Jamie was like, you took another defense. You're never going to bench the Seattle defense. But the fact that, again, it's the late rounds. I already had a second tight end. I'm just like, there's nothing here, you know. If I could,
there's always something hurt.
I know there is always
two
something.
DSTs. I just.
What happens if they gotta go face a good offense again? I know that doesn't matter.
Then you go find
Seattle,
one off
you know,
the waiver wire.
Yeah,
and
that's
I don't
fine.
Think you're. I think if you draft a DST in round nine, that's like marrying it.
Yeah, of course.
You're not going to divorce it except during the bye week. You're starting them whether they're playing at San Francisco, at Denver, against Green Bay.
And this is
just like as you would if they were at home against Oakland.
I'm probably first. Thing I drop when I come week one waiver wire,
Steelers DST.
But
that's a wasted pick.
It is.
Because you already know he's dropping him. If you take Denard Robinson.
Wait, let's go to round 15 and let's see what.
Was Denard Robinson available? Could you have taken Denard Robinson?
No, he went really high in this draft, I believe.
Did he?
I was really surprised where he got drafted. I couldn't remember
which. But I mean, listen, you work 10 feet from me. I will always have the name of a deep, dark sleeper. You know what you could have done? You could have handcuffed Doug Martin.
I could have.
Could you have found Bobby Rainey, or was he picked too?
Probably he was picked. Maybe Mike James or something like that.
He might have been picked as well.
You never know. What happens?
It just speaks to how thin it is a running back.
You could, and
someone
the Steelers came
back
in the second half as a strong defense last year.
They did.
You could always trade, packages, something like
that. You could have drafted any defense there, Herc, and I would have told you. Waste of a pick because you took Seattle.
Right.
Now, the other thing I could tell you is you wasted the pick on the Seahawks, D, because the Steelers is a late-round pick. No one's going to laugh at you for that. And, you know, let's just take a look at the three players that went after the Seahawks, D, in round nine. As I get through my notes. How many times can I say? It was round 10, Herc.
Yeah,
not round 9, round 10. Romo went after the Seahawks D.
Had Drew Brees.
Bryce Brown, Anquan Boldin. But here's the point I'll say.
I'd rather
draft Tony Romo because I know I can trade Romo.
Well, correct.
I can't trade and expect anything in exchange for the Steelers DST.
Here's why I did the Seahawks DST there. I thought Reuben Randall was going to drop to around 11. I was mistaken. Adam Azer took Reuben Randall. That's what I was hoping for. Maybe I should take Reuben Randall there, and then I would have got Seahawks DST. I now know don't pass on Reuben Randall if I want him.
You shouldn't pass on anybody if you want him. It's kind of a cardinal rule.
I think people underestimate how valuable you need those DST points are. I mean, there are weeks where you think you have a strong DST and they give you 6-7 points. The Seahawks are never going to do that. And how many times have we seen a few points make a huge difference? I'm never going to have to worry about them, really. You know, the Seahawks, again, was just there. I wasn't maybe really thinking all that much. I just didn't like anything, and I wanted to make a pick. But I have no problem with the Seahawks DST in round 10 because they're clear head and shoulders above the best DST.
I don't have a problem with that either. And honestly, I don't know if I'd have a problem with it in round 9, which is what we were saying
first.
Was, oh, yeah, it's round 9. Oops, it's round 10.
You got to have a solid starting lineup. You got to feel really confident with your starting lineup. And that's why I made that. I was like, you know what? All the guys, again, I would have taken Randall. I took Macklin around later in round 11. I like that pick. You like that pick. You know, that was a point. It's just like, you know what? Let me solidify my starting lineup. I want Seahawks DST.
And you relieve yourself of a headache during the year.
Yeah.
Because the guy that does take the Steelers DST as his only DST, if they bottom out early on again, well, now you got to hit the waiver wire, and you're playing the waiver wire every week. And that's fun. I like doing it. But I also don't mind having a stud DST that I just plug in, and I don't worry about it the rest of the way. I'm going to run down my team,
Absolutely.
And then we're going to answer some emails. But here's some homework for everybody listening, because next week we're going to talk about this. CJ Spiller, Chris Johnson, Ben Tate, they went 3 picks in a row. In your mind, you have 7 days, everybody. Rank them. Who would you take first? Would you take CJ Spiller first, like Herc did? Would you take Chris Johnson first? Would you take Ben Tate first? Knowing what we know about them right now.
Right.
And we're going to attack that topic next week. My team, I there's definitely a regret I have on my roster. I started with LeSean McCoy, Alfred Morris, Dez Bryant. No regrets there at all. After seeing news in the last, I want to say, 2 weeks. It was inside of 2 weeks. It might have even been 1 week that the Cardinals are going to ask Andre Ellington to put on a little more weight. They want to make him their primary running back. I took him in round 4, and I knew Jamie would take him. He had 2 picks before my next pick in round 5 because he's the bookend and I'm right before and after him. So I knew he wouldn't make it back to me in round 5.
Right.
I took him in round 4. In round 5, I made a mistake. I should have taken Keenan Allen to have been my number 2 wide receiver. But I took Steven Jackson with the thought process that running back is going to get thin quickly.
Yes.
And if I've got Steven Jackson as my 4th running back, not my 3rd, not my 2nd, I think that makes my running back position exceptionally deep. The problem is that I can't ever start him versus Keenan Allen, who would have been a starter for my team, a guy I do like a lot. I should have taken Keenan Allen. I even have Allen ranked higher than Steven Jackson in my rankings. I made a mistake there. I should have gone with Keenan Allen. So go back to my old rule of if you need 2 starting wide receivers to start each week, make sure you get very good ones. And you could extend that to the flex, too, and then you draft 3 really good ones. But as you'll see as I run down the rest of my team.
Would you feel more comfortable if Jamie passed on Vereen? Would you have taken Vereen over Steven Jackson?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would have.
It was 1 pick away, too.
Yeah.
So,
we could have almost the same discussion about Steven Jackson as we did about Frank Gore. Old,
yes.
Tons of work. But, you know, good situation in Atlanta. That's an offensive line, not nearly as good as San Francisco's, but one that's going to get rebuilt. And I don't know if that team's necessarily going to shy away from giving him a lot of work.
They wanted to this year.
They
he
did.
Just got hurt early.
And toward the end of the year, I think he did get more work. I think they know what they've gotten Jacquizz Rodgers, and they're not going to go crazy. But they could always add another running back.
And think about it.
And I think they probably will.
He didn't play with Julio Jones. What happens if he was on the field at the same time Julio Jones
was on? I mean, that's what I was dreaming about back in August.
So
it was what that was going to be. All right, rest of my team after the Steven Jackson pick. I got Stafford in round 6.
Good pick.
And, again, we talked about how Nick Foles was the first quarterback taken after Aaron Rodgers in round 2. That happened just before I took Stafford in round 6. And, again, I made a mistake there because Jamie likes Kaepernick more than Stafford. I should have waited to get Stafford until round 7 because he wouldn't have taken two quarterbacks.
True, yeah.
He would have taken Kaepernick ahead of Stafford.
Right.
I could have taken Reggie Wayne in round six and then gotten Stafford or Kaepernick. I'd be happy with either one in round seven. That was a mistake I made. I settled for Jason Witten in round seven instead.
I don't think that's settling.
I don't think that's bad.
No, I don't think so at all.
I'm not a big Jason Witten fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of his, but I think that's a good value.
For consistency, absolutely.
And again, like a tight end that I'm just going to start every week and then forget about it. James Jones was my round eight pick. I expect him to change teams and have a lot more opportunity. Dwayne Bowen, round nine, I threw up a little bit when I made that pick. just a little bit of drool out of my mouth. That's all I had. But he's depth at receiver for me. It was penance for passing on Keenan Allen. Marvin Jones was the pick for me after that. And so from James Jones, Dwayne Bowen, Marvin Jones, I've got to pick a number two receiver out of there. So I'm playing roulette at wide receiver.
Absolutely.
But I've got my stud running backs.
You know, so.
I almost think you're going to have to do that at some position anyway.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get a pool of players to fill, whether it's your flex, your number two receiver, your number two running back,
yep.
maybe even your quarterback. Everybody's going to have to do that if you're in a league with 10 or more owners. The rest of my team, Kyrie Robinson, Chris Polk, Jaquizz Rogers, I guess just to back up Steven Jackson, and the Jets DST was my last pick. I took a kicker, Matt Prater, with my second to last pick. Steven Jackson or Keenan Allen? Quickly, who would you have taken?
Keenan Allen.
Okay. That's fine. You're off the podcast permanently for going against that. Just kidding.
He's gonna hit mute. Put the mute button on my mic every time I talk now.
I'm going to ballpark it at 5 minutes for email, so let's answer this as quickly as we can. This one's from the Vegan Pagan in Danville, California. Hello, Cam, Earl, Richard, and Byron. You get that right, Herc?
The secondary of the Seattle Seahawks.
We can only protect two keepers. My first protected player is my eighth-round keeper, Le'Veon Bell. But with Percy Harvin's recent healthy return, I've got a tough choice for my second player to protect. Who should it be from Matt Ryan for a ninth-round pick, Amante Ball for a 10th-round pick, Percy Harvin for an 11th-round pick, and Sammy Watkins he can potentially keep. Now, Sammy Watkins is a rookie coming into the NFL draft, should be a first-round pick, potentially a top-5 pick in the draft, certainly going to be a playmaker at the next level. You can get him on your roster for a 12th-round pick now. I think as we sit here right now, that pick's got to be Amante Ball.
Oh, without
for
a doubt.
10th-round pick.
Absolutely.
Now,
no questions asked.
If the decision can be made later, I don't think Percy Harvin is even second best on this list.
Nope.
I think Matt Ryan is second best.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, could you get Matt Ryan in the 9th round again? Probably not. I think he may go 6-7.
I think he might even go higher than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the draft following the keepers. Yeah, so Amante Ball, probably the way we're going to lean. Corey in Chicago, keeper question, 10-team league. Half-point PPR. And please, if you're listening, try and answer these questions to yourself and see if you would say what we would say. Corey can keep any two of the following in his half-point PPR. Josh Gordon for an 11th-round pick. Jordan Cameron for an 8th-round pick. Justin Blackmon for a 14th-round pick. Spiller for a 5th-round pick. Stephen Ridley for a 6th-round pick. That's kind of funny. I appreciate the joke. Jordy Nelson for a 5th-round pick. Percy Harvin for a 3rd-round pick. He can also trade any of the players he doesn't keep to other owners for draft picks, which I detest.
Yeah.
I think that's unfair in a keeper league. I think that's wrong. Corey, if you're the commissioner of that league, I'm very sad.
I think it comes down to three players here on this list. Josh Gordon for 11th, Justin Blackmon for 14th, and CJ Spiller for 5th.
I think Gordon's a no-brainer. 11th round pick for a guy that's a potential top 12 pick.
Right.
You got to keep him. And I think Spiller for 5 is better than Blackmon for 14. We don't know right now if Justin Blackman's even going to play half the year. We don't know how long he's going to be suspended for.
And maybe another name I kind of overlooked, Jordy Nelson for the 5th. I think you probably could get him back around that time if you – and
I don't think you can get Spiller back in the 5th
exactly,
round.
Exactly, yeah.
Even in a 10-team league. This is from Shane, also in Chicago. Too cool for the podcast awards. 14-team PPR keeper league, no round penalty this year. He can keep three of these players. Doesn't cost him a thing. He's keeping Jamal Charles. So, obvious.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch is another player you can keep. He says he's 50-50 on keeping him. Other guys he says he's kind of meh on. Victor Cruz, Monte Ball, Pierre Garçon, Tavon Austin, Cordero Patterson. He's 50-50 on keeping T.Y. Hilton, Percy Harvin, and Dennis Pitta and Marcus Lattimore are free agents. He would have to give up his last round pick for them.
As intriguing as Pitta for a last round pick is, I mean, that would be solid.
I think you got to keep Lynch, even though we're
Yeah, for a second round pick.
No, and I think he says he doesn't have to.
No rounds. Oh, okay.
Well, he says no round penalty. Maybe that just means he has to give up the round where he drafted them in, which changes the question.
Yeah, because
quite
he skipped third here. He went
and he listed
fourth,
all the rounds. So Lynch would cost him a second round pick. Keeping Jamal Charles for a first round pick, no brainer. Lynch for a second round pick, Kirk?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm with you on that one. So from this, Cruz for a fourth, Monte Ball for a fifth, Garcon for a sixth, Tavon Austin for a seventh, T.Y. Hilton for an eighth, Percy Harvin for a ninth, Patterson for a 10th, and now it makes sense, Pitt and Lattimore, last-round pick. So you got one more from all those guys.
I honestly, I think Monte Ball in the 5th is great value. The only other guy is Percy Harvin in the 9th. But again, I mean, we've got Jeremy Maclin in the 9th, I think, or close to that. And we were talking about some other guys earlier. I think fair value there in the 9th for wide receiver. So I think I'd go with Monte Ball and have three stud running backs.
I'm with you on that. All right, we're at 55 minutes. Animators will kill us if we don't stop now. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at CBS Fantasy FB. Email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And we're still producing great content on cbssports.com. Just go to fantasynews.cbsports.com. And if you're not near a computer or a laptop, just download the free cbssports.com fantasy app. And it covers all sports.
It's awesome now.
All of our columns, all of our rankings. It doesn't matter which sport you're talking about. All three of them are... even more, I think, are represented there. But certainly for baseball, if you're a fantasy baseball player, all the draft advice you need is there. And there are some cool things coming down the pike in the app world that you guys are going to love. So definitely stay tuned and keep up with that. For Jamie Eisenberg and Michael Hercum, I'm Dave Richard. Thanks for coming up.
Pickle.